Sorry. Yeah. They are so happy at the house. You might think they're flakes if you're not used to that kind of an atmosphere. Alrighty. We were going to take a break, but I'm going to go through one more thing real quick. And he introduced it to a certain extent. Have you ever walked into a place and you felt tension and anger and you, and it's just there and like, whoa, what is going on here? That's like an atmosphere. Okay? We are not wrestling against flesh and blood armies, but against the rulers, against powers, world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We're talking about shifting those atmospheres, and you can turn to page 20. I like this topic. It's this and talking on forgiveness are probably the two my favorite things to talk about when it comes to SOZO training. While the tools are useful in lots of situations, these two things are going to powerfully change your life if you never use another tool. If you can find the freedom that comes from forgiveness and helping other people find forgiveness, that is, I'll not underestimate the power of that. And then if you understand atmospheres and shifting atmospheres and what's going on, you're not going to be tossed hither and fro by what's going on and a victim or helpless against spiritual forces. You're going to recognize it. You're not going to think, what's going on with me? What's wrong with me? Everything's just going against me. You're going to recognize it and learn to discern it, and it will change your life and your sphere of influence. When I first started hearing about, learning about shifting atmospheres, actually it was a conference that Donna Da Silva came to do at the house, and Butch was like, I don't know, that seems kind of weird. He wasn't really sure I really ought to go, but he trusted me, and he learned to trust on the people at the house, so we went, and since then, I'm getting a more and more understanding. You see, remember I said yesterday, I'm a logical person, so if something doesn't really make sense to my rational mind, there had better be something compelling to convince me. And I began to make sense. And part of that was because I've experienced the atmosphere, but I never really knew it was an atmosphere. Slow down? All right, slow down. Okay. I feel a little rushed, but that's okay. I can slow down. I've been somewhere. I've been feeling great. I'm on top of the world, and then I go somewhere, and all of a sudden I'm depressed. Or I regularly take, I had a girl, I don't know how many of you remember Sam. She went to our school, and she was almost lived in my house. She was spent quite a bit of time at our house as a teenager, moved to Philly. I still go back and get her, and invariably when I enter this certain place of Philly, I feel descending a hopelessness, I can't get out of here, a despair, what's the use of even trying? That's not me. If you know me, that's not me. I'll try anything, whether I can do it or not. I dive in and my husband rescues me, is the teamwork we've got going. I believe I can do anything, and it's not till reality hits that I realize, oh, no, I can't. And so when I encounter something like that, a feeling like that, I know that's not of me. And so that's what we're talking about here with shifting atmospheres. The way it helps in a SOZO session is you got to pay attention to what's going on inside. You got to know you. You got to know the things that you regularly battle with. I regularly battle with feelings of failure in certain realms. In other realms, it wouldn't matter if I'd fail. I still don't affect me. And I regularly battle in this type, in a SOZO atmosphere, I regularly battle with feelings of inadequacy. And because I like things laid out, I like to plan my course. I'm a teacher. And I like to have my list, my outline that I'm going to follow. I don't like depending on my ability to hear the Holy Spirit because I doubt that many times. So that's a familiar thing to me. But hopelessness is not a familiar thing to me. Loneliness is not a familiar thing to me. So if I step into a session and I'm feeling lonely, there is something going on in that room that is not of me. So you want to pay attention to what's going on around you when you're going into a SOZO session. This is why the 30-minute drive to my house to here, I'm praying. Particularly against the familiarity of inadequacy. And I'm stepping into that I can do all things through Christ, that it's in him that I am adequate, that I'm weak, but he is strong, and I'm meditating on those things so that that atmosphere is not part of me when I go into the room, and I prepare my heart. And so I'm ready when I walk in there. So you might, discernment is very, 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 very important here. Hebrews tells us that that we need to have our discernment trained by constant practice so we can distinguish good from evil. So it's a practicing of your discernment and your discerning of the atmosphere so that you learn to recognize it. So it's important for you to develop within you the atmosphere, the correct atmosphere. The atmosphere around you will become the atmosphere that you developed within you. And in the beginning, you're going to have an atmosphere that's just in you. And it's just in this little small sphere. And then it will envelop your home. And so when people, it might be for a while, when people come next to me, they feel acceptance, I hope. I want that to happen. I was once a very harsh, critical, judgmental person. I've put off that person. But eventually they're going to feel that when they come to my home. Because I've developed in me, and then I develop in my home. And then wherever you go, it just extends, your atmosphere extends and grows to whatever you continually develop. And we change our atmospheres, we change ourselves by the renewing of our minds. I have for 2 years, 3 years, I don't know, two or three years, can't remember, meditate on the verse, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's become one of my core values. And as I meditate in the beginning, it didn't feel right. A lot of truths don't feel right when you first start, but they're still truths. And whether your experience backs them up or not, don't worry about it. But it now has become a part of my life. And because I've been transformed by meditating on that verse. And if God gives you verses, particularly verses, you know what atmospheres, what things you struggle with. It might be hopelessness for you. It might be just constant feelings of heaviness or depression. And I'm not a person normally given to depression. I've had one depression in 49 years, and I thought the world was going to end at that time. But even depression, you know. And you start to meditate on the things that are the opposite of that until it becomes a part of you. And then when you go into session, you'll recognize it. You have to be able to recognize it. Now, when I get into session and I start to feel feelings of, I think Laura should be doing this, or I don't think I'm the right person. I don't think I can do this. I have to stop it right there in my mind. I have to stop that self-talk. And I have to ask Holy Spirit, is this me? Or is this something they're giving off? Because it's so familiar to me. I have to discern that. Either way, I'm going to handle it pretty much the same way, though. Okay, what I do in my mind is, all right, number one, it doesn't matter whether this feeling of inadequacy is of me or of this person. It's a lie. And I am in this session. I am the one that God has ministering to this person. He is the one that's going to minister through me. It's not up to me. And so I speak that truth inside my mind. I don't say it out loud. And then if it keeps coming up, then I start to address that. I mean, I start to kind of see where we can go with that in the session. And the way you do it in a session, you're not like going to say, I think you're hopeless. Or I think, not. No, that wouldn't be the word. Nobody would say that. I think the Holy Spirit's telling me you're battling with loneliness. Because you want them here. It's a matter of saying, you stalk it. So you walk in the room. And you feel loneliness. You just feel suddenly really, really lonely. And that's not normal for you. Okay, something's going on here. You're getting information. You're finding out something that this client, and you don't necessarily tell them this because you want them to connect with God, but you kind of filed away. And the first thing you do is you're going to just pray a quiet prayer against it. Okay? And speak the kingdom opposite. If it's loneliness, we invite the presence of God to be Jesus, he's a friend. Jesus, I just invite you to come and be a companion here. You just come inside here, and we need your friendship here. We know that you're our friend, and just speak that into the room, okay? And if it keeps coming up, you might want to tell your client, I keep hearing the word loneliness. Does that mean anything to you? If you get stuck. If they say no, then leave it. See, this is where you use the prophetic, and you want to be sure you're giving them the option of saying no. They have to know that I want to use the word uncertain. They cannot know that you're firmly convinced of their problem, because the power of suggestion will tell them that's their problem. So it's more a matter of, I keep hearing loneliness. I'm not sure what it might just be me, and I might be way off. But does that ring a bell for you? Is that and go with it there. And that's particularly more if you get stuck. If loneliness is a problem, chances are it's going to keep coming up in the sozo. And eventually you'll get to, and if it keeps coming up, you're going to keep trying. At some point in time, you're going to have a tool that's going to get to that. When Bob talked about their face lighting up, that's when I just sit back in my chair and, man, I'm good. It's just, I'm done working. When God shows up to meet that particular need. So you can confront it directly. Hopelessness, I see you. I'm not going to partner with you and I send you back. You might want to have your second pray open the session. And while they're doing that, you deal with this lie, this atmosphere that's coming up. Or in your prayer, rather than confronting hopelessness directly, when you're opening up the prayer, you just invite hope to enter the room. What's the kingdom opposite of the atmosphere you're sensing? And invite that into the room. Speak that into the room. Always make a note of it, like I said, and then come back to it if you get stuck. So the example I was giving, I keep hearing loneliness. Does that ring a bell? If you get stuck, pull that out. You've got some information, but you're going to do it in a way that allows them. You don't want the power of suggestion to make them partner with that and then try to find something that's not there. Okay? Or make them feel like they have to go somewhere they're not ready to go. Loneliness, they might be full of loneliness and not want to deal with what's causing the loneliness, and they might walk out just as lonely, and that's okay. That's where you're like, baby, you're almost home now. Please don't quit now. That feeling comes over me at times. Okay? Pay attention to your atmosphere, the way you feel on your way home in the coming days. I've talked to my kids about this in the youth class. You know, if you're ministering to somebody, you be careful. You know, pay attention to what's going on around you, inside of you, when you leave that time of ministry. Because Satan's going to want, he's going to want to attack you with whatever was released there. Okay? And this is where the logical, the rational among us, and I would include myself there. We have a tendency to put so much faith in our minds, in what makes sense to us, that if I'm angry, then I must be angry. That's me. Or if I'm feeling hopelessness, then there must be a reason I'm feeling hopelessness. So, and then we start to find a reason in our life why I feel hopeless. I start to feel like a failure. And I can find ample evidence for that. Come to my house. I can find ample evidence for that, but I'm not a failure. And so what happens is, because we're not aware of the atmospheres around us, we get tossed here and there. And I don't like saying that I get tossed, because that just feels too fickle to me. And if there's one thing I don't like, it's fickle. I don't like being controlled by my emotions. And I hated my emotions for 46 years because of that. Okay? But there comes a point in our spiritual lives where we realize there is a spiritual realm that is very real, that is very active. It is more real than the natural realm we see. And it is affecting us every day. And when we start to clue into this, we can start to change it. We can start to speak against it. Okay? Now, when I start to feel feelings of failure, before I felt like that, and I was a failure, that's why I felt that way. Okay? Now I can combat it by saying, no, I'm not a failure, I'm a child of God. I might fail sometimes. Okay? And I'll tell the enemy, I am not a failure. quit telling me that, get lost. And I won't partner with that. When I have a day where it will come on me all of a sudden I feel real irritable. I have a saying, and my girls will attest to this, PMS is not an excuse for carnality. And I have little patience with drama or emotions. But I do have a temper. I had a temper. Anger was my only safe emotion. That was my go-to emotion. But you're going along fine, all of a sudden you're angry, you're irritable, and you don't know why. Nothing's happened, okay? And when you recognize that, you can nip it in the bud, or you can allow it to fester in you and blow up at somebody, your first scapegoat. See, it's that, when I recognize that atmosphere and I'm aware of it, is when I can choose to not be a victim of it anymore. It's when I don't recognize it, no matter how much I hate being tossed about by it, I am being. And so we have to be aware of the spiritual forces that are going on around us. We have to be aware, and it sounds New Agey. It did when I first, I felt New Agey. But like I said last night, there would be no New Age movement if the church had learned to pastor and foster those who are experienced in the supernatural realm. New Age movement is very, very, very close to Christianity. They're very similar. That counterfeit looks the most real to where you're going to go. I mean, to your spiritual walk. And I've looked at some, and I don't have my notes on it, but it's very, very close. And but in our fear of being New Age, we end up being tossed about by the spiritual realm. You cannot act. God is a spirit. And you cannot access him unless you're willing to go into the spiritual realm. He does come to our realm sometimes, yes. And you see it in creation. You see it all around you. You can't deny it. But there is a spiritual aspect to him that's kind of a duh. But if you're not willing to go there because it looks too New Age, you are not going to experience the fullness of Jesus. And there comes a point where you're going to choose to trust Holy Spirit, trust your Father, to not take you where to trust you. When you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. And I have just learned to trust him. I don't understand this, and my logical part of my brain just says this doesn't make sense, but I'm willing to trust you in this. I am willing to trust you. You know, I've likened it to this. That when a man loves a woman, when you get married and you've committed yourself to that person, you come to that first night together, a man who loves his woman will not allow another man to come in and share that intimate time. And if a natural man or woman would not share the intimate moments with their spouse with another man or woman, why would God? Why would God? And I trust him when I enter that intimate time, when I enter that spiritual realm with him, I am going to trust him to not allow me to be violated. I do stay open to counsel if I'm getting too far. It's not like I just ignore all that. And so you have to get past the New Age feeling of the whole atmosphere thing. And I think I've gone through, you can send it back, say, I see you, send it back directly, quietly, while your second is praying. You can invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring the kingdom opposite into the room. Or if you get stuck, you can just go ahead and say, hey, you know, I keep sensing hopelessness. Do you feel hopeless at times? Do you struggle with that? Only if you get stuck, you can pull that knowledge down. And so that's all on that. It all may sound strange, this whole atmosphere thing, but I trust you. Think about it. If it sounds strange to you, pray into it. We need to be aware of the spiritual realm. We cannot be ignorant of the enemy's schemes. And if he can, I think he's deceived much of the church by them thinking they have to be able to rationalize it. They have to be able to understand it in their natural minds. And I think he's kept us pretty impotent because we're not willing to look into some of these things because they seem too scary and new age. I have a couple resources I want to tell you about. One is by Laurie, my regional director, Shifting Atmospheres and Intercession. And it helps in learning how to take your shifting your prayers from a place of fear and defeat to a place of vision and promise victory, moving from that in your prayers. And then Donna has a whole teaching on shifting atmospheres. There's a CD out there. And this book is one book in a series of three, but they're not necessarily hinging on each other. You can get book three and you're fine with it. They just put the three books in Encountering God series, but you can pick out any one of them and glean from it. The one is soaking, just learning to rest in his presence and however in worship or music or whatever. The other is hearing God, listening. I think it's hearing God. Hearing God 101, soaking 101, and then this is shifting atmospheres 101. And so if you're interested in really helping yourself, if you're interested in learning about atmospheres and how to shift them, this would be a good resource. And then there is a sequel to this, The Tactics of the Enemy. This is the first one, The Tactics of the Enemy, builds on this teaching. So anybody have any questions on shifting atmospheres? I tried to make it short but not go too quick to let you out for a break. Anybody?
Sometimes I think it might deal more with what you were saying, is you have to kind of get over the new agey of it, mm-hmm. or whatever. My husband, we own our own business and his office is in our house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you often pray about, that it gets moved out of our house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because you don't know what the client's coming in. Mm-hmm. They may have, you know, happy plastic people, mm-hmm. smiles on their faces or whatever, but man alive, depending on who has just been in my house, it can set the tone. And it wasn't until I heard the CD of Donna DeSilva, mm-hmm. and Shifting Atmospheres, it wasn't until I heard that CD that I recognized that that's exactly what was going
it
on
is.
In my house.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, okay, I feel like a complete fool, like saying in the, you know, just out loud to nobody in, you know, that I can see.
Right.
You have got to get out of my house because I cannot handle this.
Yeah.
I do not partner with you. You need to get out.
Mm-hmm. It does feel awkward.
I feel it, but then there's that, like, question in my mind going, okay, no, it does feel like, but was it that easy? Like, is it that easy to shift it?
Yeah.
Struggle to get it to actually take place. Does that, you know,
it does, yeah. It does seem too easy to people.
Yeah.
But it's because you have authority.
Is it like, is the faith there? Is it like, okay, is it really gone? Or is it back? Is it gone?
Well,
you know,
just.
I always question that.
Yeah,
is it just a matter of practicing it? And
it's a matter of recognizing that, number one, you are a child of God and you have authority. Over your own, you have authority in your home. Okay, and we are not a victim of the atmospheres. And there is a learning that grows that eventually it won't even affect your atmosphere, because the atmosphere that you've developed within you and then you've developed in your home becomes so powerful that the other atmospheres coming in can't overcome it.
And I do notice a difference if I've been able to get up and have that one-on-one, you know, just like my prayer time, just soaking in. Talking,
yeah.
Like I can totally feel the difference.
Yeah.
In our
Right. And I would encourage you to prepare your heart. If you can't have your devotions, that's fine. Just, you know, a client's coming. Okay, Holy Spirit, what atmosphere are we dealing with? And just trust him to tell you and combat it. If it's wrong, what's the harm?
Right.
Practicing that is part of practicing it and learning to recognize it. And the key is knowing when it's something familiar to you, it's harder to see.
Right.
It's harder to recognize it as something else that's come in. But we are not victims of other people's atmospheres. And you don't have to be in a certain place to be able to affect people. There's another teaching back there by Teresa Liebscher, Bubble, something about in the bubble with God or something. And she talks about that, yeah, almost like an atmosphere. And gradually your bubble grows as you stored it, as you foster it, as you grow in it till. And then our bubbles intersect sometimes, and we get to draw on each other's. And it's really, that one there is another good teaching on this whole atmosphere thing. But you're not a victim to it, okay? Learn to recognize it. And then, and you have authority. You have authority in your home. You have authority in your own self. You have authority over your spheres. Now, I can't go to Haiti, and I can minister to people there, but I don't have authority in Haiti. I have authority as a child of God with the people I minister to. But it's not like I can go to Haiti and kick out all the evil spirits or, you know, take authority in that region, because they have authority there for a reason. It's been given to them by the authorities that be there. But your authority grows, and as you walk in and get more comfortable with it, start to recognize it wherever you go. And this is why I think if you never do SOZO, if you never use any of the SOZO tools, if you learn this atmosphere thing, you're going to be a more effective witness. You're going to be more effectively minister to people. Because you can be talking to someone in Walmart, and you go in there ready to pray for anybody. And then when you're talking to the clerk, all of a sudden you clam up, and you feel nervous, and you feel like you think you're stupid. And like, what if she doesn't accept that? What if she doesn't like me? Okay, maybe that's her that she's giving off, and you got to break through it. Break through your fears anyway. There's nothing. I mean, you break through your fears. Even if nothing happens, you're proud of yourself for having broken through your fear. Even if nothing comes, it was like, score, got that. I just, you know, someday I might go bungee jumping just to break through that, or skydiving to break through that fear. I don't know. Anybody else have any questions on shifting atmospheres? Right, and it's just like Bob said, when the people come into the house. I remember reading about a man, a pastor who had a brother-in-law who was an atheist, and whenever he got together, the atheist guy just attacked him, just kind of picked at him, and dreaded him coming, and he got the call that he was coming, and he thought, why does he even come? He doesn't like being here. And the pastor, I'll say Bob, because we have Pastor Bob here, and his brother-in-law is Bill, just to differentiate between two. Bill wants Bob to pick him up at the airport. Picks him up at the airport, and the pastor says to his brother-in-law, I need to stop the church for something. I just need to run in. You can stay in the car. You don't have to come in. I just need to get something. So they get there, and Bill follows him in, and Bob says, you don't need to. I mean, yes, all right. You don't need. But as soon as Bill hit the threshold of the church, he fell prostrate under conviction and became a Christian right then and there, because the atmosphere had been developed in that church. And I guarantee it wasn't the atmosphere wasn't one of condemnation. The presence of the Lord had been so fostered in that place that he saw it. He saw the difference. When you encounter new people, we have a code purple here, and so the homeless women stay here at night. And you need an atmosphere so that they know they're safe with you. And it'll develop, and you keep developing it, and it'll grow. But it doesn't do any good to not be aware of it and say, I'm not even gonna dabble in that. You're basically at the whims of the spiritual forces. Anybody else? Okay, we're gonna take a 15-minute break. Let's see what time it is here. It's 11:01. I was not going to take a half an hour. We are really running behind. And so take about a 10 or 15-minute break, and we're going to hit the floor running right at quarter after. And it's one of the biggest tools, so I hope we can get it done, and we will. We'll be fine.